Audrun, the final day then, and some good news for Irish cricket, a bit of pride restored with that partnership between Mark Adair and Andy McBrien.
It was indeed, Mark. It raised the spurs of the quite a sizable Irish media contingent, because the previous 2 days were actually very depressing, particularly on the second day of Friday. But the two lads, when they came together just about half an hour before lunch, there was, in the media centre, people were thinking, okay, it'll be over shortly after lunch. So they came together and they produced a partnership very, very similar in terms of number of runs and in time. It's famous Kevin O'Brien and Alex Cusick back in 2011 in India, when they came in and they changed the course of the match. Now, Mark Adair and Andy McBrien didn't actually change the course of the match, but they changed the mood of the team, and they showed that there was a lot of talent in this team if it only could be harnessed properly. And their innings, I mean, it wasn't a fluke, it wasn't just a slog. They actually played very calculated, controlled shots. Mark, we have always known Mark Adair could bat, but he never really showed any real concentration for any period of time to prove he could. But yesterday he did. And myself and Andy McBrien, who's always been a good batsman, who played superbly yesterday, and both of them deserved 100, both deserved to be on the honours board. And they played shots, every shot imaginable. Okay, Mark Adair, his wicket speed was like 90% on the leg side. But McBrien kicked into them, and they literally ran the English bowling ragged in the end.
There must be a few questions so far with the English bowling now for the Ashes. I mean, if Ireland do that to them, people might be thinking...
Oh, absolutely. You mean all six bowlers used yesterday, because they used Joe Root for a while. In fact, we've got a wicket, I think. They used Joe Root. So all six bowlers who bowled for England yesterday, all six are included in the 16-man Ashes squad. So the Australians will be watching this and saying, okay, we don't have too much to worry about. Okay, Jimmy Andrews is back. I think Ollie Stone, Robinson, I think he'll come back. It's Ollie Stone on the team. I'm not sure if Ollie Stone's on the squad, but it would put Robinson there again. They wouldn't be absolutely terrified of what they're coming up against. And certainly the Australian bowling attack on the Evans of yesterday was a much superior attack.
Yeah. Was there any question of James McCollum maybe trying to come out to bat to get Andy McBrien get his 100? Was that ever going to happen?
Well, according to Andrew Burney, James McCollum, who really was really unfortunate, I was batting like a proper test match batsman. Yeah, apparently at tea time yesterday, McCollum was wearing his moon boot on crutches and had his pads on. And as Bob Burney said in his post-match press conference, it was a bit chaotic, and McBrien told him not to come out under no circumstances. McCollum said he was coming out, and then anyway, they compromised apparently that if he was one hit away from a century, McCollum would limp to the middle. I don't know if he's going to get on crutches or not. Limp to the middle, presumably in his moon boot, but he had his pads already on, and come out and help McBrien get to a century. That would have been, I don't know, I hope if actually had happened, I sincerely hope that McBrien would have remembered that he couldn't go with a quick single,
And I suppose, what's your thoughts then, looking back over the 3 days? I mean, the bowling's obviously a concern, and I was looking at Jerry Stad on the batting. I mean, our last five wickets have put on more runs than our first five in seven test matches, so the top order's obviously a concern, and we seem to be getting runs when it's too late. You know, I haven't looked at the figures, but I'm sure we've scored more runs in the second innings than we have in the first, or maybe pretty closer than it should have been.
Yes, I mean, look, yesterday, I think I said the first question you asked me, but that yesterday put on a brave face on what actually happened, the reality of the test match. The first 2 days were just totally one-sided. I was talking to David Lloyd Bumble on late Friday afternoon, and he was saying, look, it was really sad. He said, it has to be, for any sport to be of interest, it has to be competitive. And he said, this just wasn't competitive. He felt sorry for the Irish lads, looking out with no Red Bull breakfast, apart from, okay, they had a couple, 2 or 3 tests there, but they have no, there's no structure. Ireland's a first-class cricket. They can't play county cricket. And he thought it was very sad, and they were literally out of their depth. Now, they turned that around to some extent, but as you say in your question, you know, it was too little too late, literally. But at least it put pride on, at least they could show they could bat. But they need, they really need a proper infrastructure. And there have been failed miserably by Cricket Ireland, who seem to have all sorts of other priorities that they're not putting into Test cricket. And yet they want to play Test cricket, and they don't want to play Test cricket. That's not a priority, it's a priority. Who knows? And I think the players are suffering. I think what they risk, I know down in my own mind, that the likes of Harry Tector, Lachlan Tucker, Josh Little, just to name three, would comfortably get county contracts. No problem whatsoever. If they decided to say, I'm going to get X money and play franchise cricket, they could actually make a lot of money. Now, at this point in time, they're obviously, they have pride of playing for Ireland and want to play for Ireland. Yeah. But they run the risk down the road. Unless Cricket Ireland get their act together, get very quickly, they run that sort of risk.
It's a huge sort of 6 weeks, 2 months coming up for Irish cricket now with 2 World Cup qualifiers. It's, you know, could go either way. I mean, it's going to be very difficult in Zimbabwe.
The T20, I mean, they can't qualify in the Europe group out of T20. It really would be, more than embarrassing. The 50 over qualifier, which is that everything is apparently been geared towards that, the high performance director told us last week. They have to qualify for that, as simple as that. They missed out on England in 2019, literally our own doorstep, and you would have had Irish support in every single match over there, big support. If they don't, if they miss out, don't get in the top two. And remember, it's only the top two come through. And apart from, I mean, there's Zimbabwe, Sri Lanka, and the West Indies. I mean, 3 other test sides, plus Holland, Scotland, UAE, let's not forget UAE. UAE have beaten Ireland in the last 5 times they've met in ODIs. So there are probably no really easy games. As they fail, I know I've been saying this for some years, heads have to roll.
Yeah, it's the problem is, Adrian, it's the wrong heads rule.
Oh, well, this is it. That's happened every time. I mean, the previous regime under Graham Ford, I mean, after the disaster in the T20 World Cup, when they lost to Namibia and sort of found themselves on the way home after sort of a week, the people disappeared very quickly, then they were no longer involved, but not the ones who should have been.
Well, Adrian, thanks very much for your time over the 3 days. I've enjoyed talking to you, and best of luck and safe travels home.